up here that we'll use for teaching from and explanation and so forth. But let's start this morning in Romans 3 and 21. We started out a couple of weeks ago stating that there was two covenants made 3,500 years ago or so, one to Abraham and one to the seed, which was Jesus. And if we are in Christ, then we are the seed. And so God made two covenants, one to Abraham and one to you. They're both blood covenants. We know it has been fulfilled because we've experienced Jesus in our heart. God is true to his word. And he promised and he swore by himself to Abraham so that we would be greatly encouraged. And we'll read some of those scriptures today. But we want to start out with Romans 3 and 21 this morning. Romans chapter 2 talks about that there is no one is righteous, not one. On our own efforts, no matter how good we are, we cannot come before a holy God and demand anything as if we have earned it. It is impossible. Because even our thought life is sin. If you broke the law in any one area, you broke the whole thing. It's either all or nothing. All right? And so we know that we need a Savior. We've accepted him, Jesus Christ. It says, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law. The only righteousness that people understood and the way that our hearts have been trained is, let me use the word goodness. How good are we? In accordance to our actions, that's and to the level of that goodness that we perceive ourselves, to that level we come to God. But that system cannot help us. This is why God sent Jesus to die for our sins, so that we could receive the new birth and his spirit within us, and that his grace could now flow to us freely, because we don't have to earn it. We just have to believe what he did in Jesus Christ. What an awesome plan. Wow. And he did it that way so that God's blessing could come to everyone who would believe. Even the worst sinner can come to Jesus and be cleansed of his sin completely and totally. What a plan. That's why we have terrorists even being saved today and winning many Muslims to the Lord. No matter what they've done, the blood of Jesus covers everything, everything. So Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, faultless at keeping the law. And the Pharisees would add law upon law, and they had a strong will, a lot of pride. They prided themselves on keeping the law, because pride always sets a high standard, but then it's very critical if you don't reach that standard. And so they just put pushing themselves. They do everything just right, but their hearts were not right. Their hands were clean, but their hearts were not pure. And pride was their downfall. When Jesus came to establish God's kingdom, he did not choose the religious leaders. He chose men of no account, ignorant and unlearned men. Hallelujah. I fall in that category. I was an ignorant and unlearned man. And it was like Jesus needed fresh minds to work with. And so he called the 12 apostles. Nobody would have chosen them as religious leaders, but Jesus did. And so in Romans 3:21, Paul, after Ananias came to him and he saw the grace of God, he says, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. A righteousness from God apart from the law. Over here we have the law, but now we have a righteousness from God apart from the law. It has nothing to do with the law. As we were teaching, this is the covenant. Jesus was the seed. The promise was spoken to Abraham and the seed 3,500 years ago. The law came 430 years later. And once a covenant has spoken, a last will and testament, the Old Testament, New Testament, it cannot be added to or taken away from. So everything came by a promise from God's word to Abraham and to you who is we are deceived because we are in Christ. The law cannot change that promise. So we cannot depend upon the law to receive. We've got to depend on the promise which was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Your faith has nothing to do with the law. It has to do with what Jesus accomplished. It has nothing to do with how good or how bad you've been. It has to do with what Jesus has accomplished. Everyone can have strong faith because it hasn't got to do with you. It's got to do with what you believe about Jesus and what he did. It's important that you understand that. That you get yourself out of the equation. And so this righteousness comes from God apart from the law. This righteousness from God comes through faith. Just believing what Jesus did. In Jesus Christ to all who believe. Abraham believed God and was credited to him for righteousness. This believing in God, believing in what Jesus did, believing in Jesus, that means with your heart. For with the heart man believes. Your heart is where your life flows out of. So with your whole life, your whole being, who you are, your future, your whole destiny, your everyday life, every minute of every day, you believe with that. In other words, Jesus is Lord of our life. Because we fully, totally are committed to believe in him and what he has done. You're not believing in him, you're believing in yourself or your own ability or your own goodness. That you may be found in Christ, having no righteousness of your own whatsoever, always fully, totally dependent upon Jesus. But this is where you are saved. Hallelujah. That's the beauty of it. When we sin, the Bible says the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. But we have to repent. We have to change our ways. There is a fact that we have still evil in our heart. And as we fully trust in Jesus and what he's done for us and we start living for him, his grace is released into our lives by the Holy Spirit and through the new birth, and he empowers us to live properly. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He does it all. We just have to cooperate with him. And the more that we live for him, then the more righteous we become, and our hearts experience him. We develop a relationship with him. This is what it's all about. The goal of our faith is the salvation of our soul, which flows out of our heart. But all the time, we have this that we believe in, that we always come back to. So we read the scriptures before in 1 John. If we say we do not sin, the Bible says we are liars. We all sin, as Fred said. We all have problems in some way or other. The beauty is that Jesus has perfected forever those who are in the process of being made holy. Wow. Hallelujah. I'm getting happy already. And there is a growing process of our hearts purifying by God's grace and fulfilling the law by the power of this new life and the power of our standing, our right standing with God. And so that's a process we have to go through. But all the time as we're going through that process, Jesus has perfected forever those who are being made holy. As we're going through that process of becoming holy, of sanctification, we've always got this. He is our high tower. Every time we sin, we run back to him. But we have to repent, and we have to ask for forgiveness, and we have to forgive others. Or otherwise, we're walking in the wrong kingdom, trying to get the blessings of God without living the life that goes with it. All right? Let's go to Romans chapter 4 now. Some things I want you to see here. I'm just trying to explain this in different ways. Some diagrams, whatever we need to do to really get this established in our heart. So even though when we sin, the Bible says our hearts condemn us because the law is written on our heart through the new birth. our spirit is born again and has the righteous nature of God. And when we do something contrary to that righteous nature, our hearts condemn us. The Bible says when our hearts condemn us, just continue to walk in love. You ask for forgiveness and repent. Make right what you did wrong, because part of our training. But when our hearts condemn us, just continue walking in love. That will set our hearts at rest in His presence, because God is greater than our hearts. But our hearts have been trained by a system of law. So here's the problem. People can understand this with their head, but faith is of the heart. And so it's easy for us to believe in salvation. It should be just as easy for us to believe in healing, because it's all dependent upon Jesus, right? It's the same faith. It's the same Jesus. It's the same sacrifice. It's the same everything. You didn't do anything to receive your salvation, the new birth, other than to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins. When He died for your sins, when He died for you, He also provided healing for you. By His stripes we were healed. He carried our sickness and diseases on the cross. It's the exact same faith. Jesus was going to pray for somebody one time, and Jesus said, "All things are possible to him who believes." The man said, "I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." That's the problem that Christians have, overcoming their unbelief, because they do not feel worthy, because they don't have a revelation of righteousness by faith. You get a full revelation of this, and you can't help but live for Jesus, because there's nothing to go back to once you understand that. So the degree you have a revelation of righteousness by faith, to that degree your heart can accept all of these things. I know I teach it and teach it and teach it. Maybe you get tired of hearing me, but I've had people hear this for 4 or 5 years and then came to me and say, "I finally got it." Thank God. Maybe they were sitting too much to get it before that. I don't know. But I know when I came to town and started teaching this, people were coming from different churches, even Pentecostal churches. And wow. That was good. That was good. There's two kinds of righteousness, one by faith and one by works. And then that was on Sunday. Tuesday or Wednesday, they would phone me up and say, "How did that work again? Can you explain that again?" I mean, it only took 3 days for them to lose. But eventually they got it, and they kept it, and they're teaching it. So it's important. All right, Romans 4, let's go to verse 13. "It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but to the righteousness that comes by faith." So Abraham believed the promise of God by faith. He didn't receive it through the law. The law came 430 years later. Also, then, as I just finished saying, you got saved by faith, not through the law. You get healed by faith, not through the law. It doesn't depend on how good or how bad you've been. It depends on whether you've accepted Jesus, repented, and your heart is right with God, and ask for forgiveness. That totally cleanses you from all sin. It puts you in a position, wow, of nothing standing between you and God in that moment. "For if those who live by the law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless." See, if anybody keeps the law as an heir, then all of this means absolutely nothing. Faith has no meaning, and the promise is worthless, because it came by faith before the law was introduced. So if you're trying to get something from God because of how good you are, then this means nothing. This is why Paul got so upset with Peter in Galatia when he went and ate with the Judaizers because he was tearing down the gospel by his actions. He said a little bit of wrong teaching, a slight wrong concept of error perverts the whole concept of faith. This has to be pure faith in this. So we are the seed. Jesus was the seed. We are in him, so we are the seed of Abraham. So we have absolute righteousness, sin forgiven and forgotten. We have the blood of Jesus cleanses. You are chosen. God chose you. You didn't choose him. You have a blood covenant through the blood of Jesus. You have the promise of God. God promised it. He swore by himself. Your heart has been cleansed from guilt by the blood of Jesus. You have God's grace. You are a new creation. You are accepted and beloved. Let's look at Hebrews 10 and 19 for a moment. And we're going to come back to there. You have all of that by faith. A call to persevere. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, the most holy place where the high priest could only go once a year, we got confidence now. We can come into the very presence of God 24 hours a day by the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus, God has forgiven all our sins and forgotten them. It puts us in a position. You know, see, the devil can't mess with this. With the promise, with what we are in Christ, and the seed. He can only mess with our hearts and get us going in circles because we don't understand it properly. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, do you have confidence that you are going to receive your healing next week by the blood of Jesus? Do you see what I'm saying there? By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. Wow, we did that this morning when we had communion. In full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. It's my faith that I am in Christ, and I am the seed of Abraham, and I have a blood covenant with my Heavenly Father. That is full assurance. There's nothing more powerful in the universe than that concept. That gives my heart full assurance. And God swore by himself. So I could be greatly encouraged. So you could be greatly encouraged. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Because Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. And the blood of Jesus has covered all of our sin. Let us hold unswervingly. See, but our hearts need a revelation of this. Otherwise, we feel unworthy, or God won't do this for me, or God won't do that, or I'm not very important. All of that stuff comes into. See, these are the negative things that come from our heart to our mind. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Hold unswervingly to our belief. Hold unswervingly to this word of God that we're teaching here. Because this is truth. God is greater than your heart. Your heart is not truth all the time, whatever comes from there. Because evil thoughts proceed from the heart of man. For he who promised is faithful. And we know he's faithful because we've experienced Jesus in our hearts. That's why we're all here this morning. This is working. This is how it works. It's not complicated. This is just, we got to see this from God's perspective. And let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the day more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. We don't deliberately sin. You're all here because you want to know God better. You want to have the blessings of God. But we do sin, but not deliberately. So when we sin, we ask for forgiveness, repent, move on, make the corrections we need to do. But this is the call to persevere in this truth, in what we have in Jesus Christ. God promised it. He swore by himself. Jesus suffered so we could have it. That's where we put our faith, and only there. Let's go back now to Romans chapter 4. For if those who live by the law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless, and Jesus died for nothing. Because law brings wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. The only thing that this system brings, we can't be perfect by this system, we can't receive by this system, because we can't fulfill the law on our own by this system. The only thing this system brings is wrath, because we can't be perfect. Because, see, it only brings wrath because God's wrath is going to be poured out on sin in the end. So it only brings wrath. Because where there is law, there's no transgression. So sin is transgression of the law. God says, thou shalt not, but we do it anyways. And part of that is habits we have formed in our life that we have to change by living for him. So the law only brings wrath. It can't bring perfection. Because wrath comes against transgression or our sin. But if there was no law, there would be no transgression. So it's only through law that the transgressions come. And because of the transgressions, the sin, that's why God's wrath is poured out. So God's wrath is the only thing that comes through this law as far as receiving from God. In other words, you cannot receive anything because you're good enough. Your faith has to be totally dependent on Jesus. God has got it set up this way because Jesus paid the price and he's given him the name above every other name. The law is now written on our hearts. So, if we're going to do it by law, we're saying, I earned it. But we realize that the law brings condemnation because it's written on our heart, and our conscience functions between our heart and our mind. So then we think the opposite, you know, like the Pharisees, they thought they earned it. But then most Christians, because of their rejection and their negative self-image, say, I don't deserve it. Well, you're right, you don't, neither do I. But by faith, it already belongs to us. See, God set it up this way so that we understand this with our head, but our hearts have been trained by this, so we got to get this working in our heart. Because the law cannot do anything about this. All of this, the grace of God of being in Christ, is above the law, and through this we now fulfill the law. And as we're doing that, faith grows in our heart because the goal of our faith is the salvation of our soul. I have a ton more confidence and faith in God than I did when I first got started, and so do you. You can see how you've grown in these areas. But we're growing in these areas, but we still have some negative things in our heart, and then when we come to God for a healing, well, will he really do it? Still the same principle. You can have a faith that can move mountains and still not have love. So it's possible to have faith in this, just because I'm teaching it, without having a relationship with God. But it isn't going to do you any good in the end. Because people came to him, Jesus said, when I return, people say, have I not cast out demons in your name, prophesied your name? You can operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And Jesus said, depart from me, for I never knew you. See, we didn't have that, they didn't have that relationship with him. That's what it's all about. So this is why we got to live by faith. And the goal of our faith is to get to a point where the law is not bothering us. We know how to deal with it. Even when we sin and our hearts condemn us, we just keep walking in love because God is greater than my heart. Even though I feel like garbage, I know God still loves me, and I'm not going to quit living this principle. You have no idea how hard I had to force myself to do this when God took me out of the bar room and threw me into the ministry, because my heart was still all full of rejection, rebellion, and pride. I literally had to live my way through it. But that's why God has me teaching it all over the world and through pastors and everything else, because I lived this message. So it works. Kathy is a witness to all of it. But I want to impose this thinking now on your healing. Your healing comes by faith because you are in Christ, because in Christ he's paid for it. It's the same as salvation. And so if you meditate on this and realize, all right, I'm coming to this by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, all right, totally cleansed me from all sin, forgiven my sin. There's nothing that stands between me and God, absolutely nothing. Your heart is still gnawing on you, but this is truth. And so you just keep believing that by faith. Lord, this is your promise. This is your covenant with me. You understand the blood covenant. That's why we teach all these things of who you are in Christ and blood covenant and all those things. Because that becomes the foundation for your faith and to cause us to be able to believe in spite of what our heart says. See, you are in the process of overcoming your unbelief. We all are. God has called me to head up Kingdom Unity in this area. I'm not concerned about it in the least, because this is what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Mm-hmm. And so I just go ahead and do work with the stuff that he's given me and my call, my anointing, and it's going to happen. Because it's not dependent on me, it's dependent on God. And people are amazed what great faith I have. It's just the way it works. You know, I don't feel like I have great faith. It's just, I believe God. You know, it's really quite simple. And there's times when people receive a healing because we pray for them. They're instantly healed. They walk outside the church and the devil puts the symptoms back on them, and they come running back in. I lost my healing. Pray for me again. I said, no. See, that's when they have to tell the devil to get lost. See, this is how God helps us to grow. And we've done that, and they've done that. I've taught that before I prayed for them. This has happened overseas a number of times. They were instantly healed. They walked outside. The pain came back. And they said, no, devil, God has healed me. You're not putting it back on. See, the devil is able to test your faith. Everything is a test. But if you really believe, then you will not receive that, especially when you've already been healed by God. And then the healing just comes back. Sometimes you receive half a healing. God's showing you that he loves you. He's answering your prayer. Now go home, meditate, and get the rest of it. Spend time in his word. He wants you to grow up in this area. You have to understand how God works and how the kingdom works. This is the bottom line, and so this is what you always have to come back to. This is where your faith is. This is where you have to keep coming back to, in spite of what your heart says. Because your heart has got nothing to do with this other than to believe the truth. So the law brings wrath. If there was no law, there would be no transgression. So transgression brings the wrath because transgression is sin. So in other words, you cannot depend on this system one iota, one second for nothing. Because all it does is bring you down. And you've been trained by the system of law. Everything is because of who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ and what Jesus accomplished. Your faith is in something other than yourself. Now you can have strong faith in spite of what your heart says. Now, if your heart is bothering you a lot, meditate on all of these things to the point where this has to become stronger in your heart than this whole system. See, we got to change the systems. We won't fully experience that till Jesus comes and this whole system is done away with. And his life, wow, we are quickened even to a greater degree. We see through a glass darkly now, Paul says, but then we will see clearly and we will understand clearly. Wow. But this is the depth of teaching we need, but then we also need the response to this teaching. That means we got to do some things. We got to work at this a bit. We work it out. We don't work for it. We work it out. There has to be a fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. Job feared God and he shunned evil. So all of these things are all part of growing up. But we can exercise our faith to receive what we need from God. Just to really blow our minds, the Israelites, when they were in Egypt, they were into idolatry, sexual immorality, false worship, a lot of stupid stuff. But when God brought them out of Egypt, the law wasn't even introduced yet, and there was none sickly among them because he remembered his covenant with Abraham. In the wilderness for 40 years, their shoes did not wear out. They were fed every day by God, but they kept testing God and testing God. Finally, God let them die in the desert, and he raised up a whole new generation to go into the promised land. But you can see his covenant working, how he's faithful to it. He's faithful even when we're not. I mean, it's a no-brainer to give your life to Jesus. But you have to understand all this stuff. And if it's not taught, people are just sort of going in circles and still always trying to please God. And he's already pleased because you accepted what his son has done for you. It's a whole different way of thinking. This is mind renewal. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. Let's first go to Hebrews 6. Then we'll go to Romans chapter 10. God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by. He swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose. I love that. He wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear. He swore by himself. In blessing, I will bless you. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless the socks off us. He wants us to have everything. But he wants us to grow up so we can handle everything. Same as raising your children. You don't give them the keys to the car when they're 8 years old. You don't give them whatever they want and spoil them. You're trying to develop principles in their lives. God is doing the same thing. Endure hardship as discipline, because God loves you and he wants you to grow up. Do you ever spank your child and say, I'm doing this because I love you? Yeah, right, sure you are. Yeah. The child doesn't get it, does he? But you know what's good for him. Well, God knows what's good for us. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the ears of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, his word, his promise, and his oath, he who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. Wow, this is so powerful. God cannot be God if this does not work like this. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. I don't care what's going on in my life. I do not quit living for Jesus. Sometimes I go overseas, it seems like nothing's happening, but I know God told me to go, so I just keep going. I just keep doing because I'm not concerned about results. I'm just doing, being faithful to what God has called me to do. I'm just establishing that. To try and bring a head up kingdom unity to people that you haven't taught and they haven't been taught the proper things, you have to be crazy in your head to even try it. But I'm doing it because God told me to do it, because he's given me the teaching and he's going to work it out in their hearts. But I got to do the teaching. That's why we're doing seminars. Anchor for the soul, firm and secure, it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. There's this whole thing that we teach in the Bible school about identification with Christ. Because Jesus went through it for us, God looks at it as we went through it ourselves. I was crucified with Christ. I died with Christ. I was buried with Christ. I was raised to newness of life with Christ. I was seated with Christ in heavenly places. It's like everything that happened to Jesus, that is all accredited to me because I believe what he did for me. And so when I come before God, in the name of Jesus, that means by the blood of Jesus and everything that he's accomplished, nothing stands between me and God because of my righteousness by faith, not because of how good I am. It's the same for you. So you're standing in this perfect position before Christ. And there's nothing the devil can do about that except mess with your heart to get you to believe it's not true. To get you to feel like you're unworthy. And he'll always throw the past at you. Everybody familiar with that? The devil throws your past at you. God has forgotten about it. So don't let him play games with you. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Take a hike, devil. God knew I did all that, and then he chose me. So what do you got to say about it? Absolutely nothing. See, you need to talk to the devil sometimes and straighten him out. But sometimes these thoughts come and it's like you get on the defense. Oh, please, devil, stop this. Oh, God doesn't like me. Oh, I don't think I'm very important. You're denying the blood of Jesus. You're denying the promise of God. He swore by himself and he chose you. He wants to give you this. He already has given it to you. All spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm have been given to you. That's why the Bible says, by his stripes you were healed. This is why you can believe that you have received. It's the doubt you got to deal with. But when you are righteous by faith, the doubt disappears if you have a revelation of it. He was just trying to deal with and help you with your unbelief to get you to a point of expectation for next Sunday, because I'm expecting God to do a lot of things. Everything is covered by this revelation. All of your sins, all of your sickness, all of your diseases. One of the problems we have in North America is we have free OHIP. We believe God, but oh well, if he doesn't bring it to pass, I've always got the doctor. And there's an element of truth to that, because if we haven't been sick and we haven't developed our faith, and you need an operation or you're going to die, well, you believe God. And if before the operation happens, you're healed, fine. If not, well, you got to have the operation or you're going to die. But see, we're supposed to be building up our faith in this area all the time. We're supposed to be living, and as we are living for him, I pray that you prosper and be in your health as your soul prospers. The more that we live for him, the more of that life, all things that pertain to life and godliness that's in our born-again spirit is released through our heart and into our whole being, and you just stay healthier. And when you're 90, you only look like you're 70. Just, Bill, you're smiling here. Maybe you don't look that way, but imagine what you look like if you didn't know God. I can pick on Pastor Bill. He picks on me, so. But this is how it works. The more we live this life for Jesus, the more that the Spirit quickens our mortal body. I pray that you prosper. Everything in the Word of God lines up with this because that's what Jesus accomplished. But we can develop faith. We can have a faith that moved mountains and had not love. So it's possible to develop faith, and God will give you what you want if you insist on it. We have to always check that our heart is right because everything is still in God's control. And I think sometimes, as I said, we're so blessed in Canada and we're so spoiled. As Kathy says, we like it that way because we've been overseas and we like Canada. But slowly it can pull down on your faith because, well, the doctor's always there as a backup. You know, overseas, they ain't got money to pay the doctors. That's why God does so many miracles. It's just amazing what he does when you go minister to the poor people, like the gypsies. Man, God just, it's like all heaven breaks loose. But here we have more. We've worked hard. We've accomplished more. But it becomes a self thing. And I heard a doctor say one time, well, I believe God will heal what doctors can't do. I said, oh? Well, no, maybe that's not right. He says, you know, doctors can heal things, but and God uses doctors sometimes. So there's nothing wrong with that. Going to the doctor does not negate your faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. But if you want to get strong in this, you got to keep believing God until it's time of the operation. If you haven't been healed, then get the operation. But you got to keep, you can't just rely on the doctors because then you're not trusting God. See, everything is a heart issue. So we have to develop this faith in our heart. You can't go all of your life not believing God and then all of a sudden you get cancer, fourth stage cancer, and then expect to have the faith to be healed because you haven't been developing your faith. So everything is a process. All right, where did I take you now? Where are we going? Where did I leave you? Romans chapter 10, right? Let's go back to Romans 4 for a moment. Maybe we'll leave Romans chapter 10 for next week. All right, let's start in verse 13 again. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. That's how the healing comes, the same way, by the promise of God and through the righteousness by faith. For if those who live, I want you to understand that the righteousness by faith, if you have a revelation of that, then it opens the whole door to the whole spiritual realm and everything that God has for you. Otherwise, you're always trying to be good enough to please God. And then you're doing it on your own strength and not by the grace of God. Because the law brings wrath, and where there's no law, there's no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Every single one of us can receive this now, because no one here is better than anybody else, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we all declared righteous by the blood of Jesus. It's just a hard issue. Do you want to spend enough time to deal with the doubt, the unbelief, or whatever there might be? You see how this righteousness by faith, that you have to have a revelation of that, because that makes everything else work. Not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are the faith of Abraham. He's the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Abraham is the father, the spiritual father of the nation of Canada. That's how God made him the father of many nations, because we have the faith of Abraham. Righteousness is accredited to us because of that, so he is the father of many nations, because through him all the nations of the earth have been blessed through Jesus Christ. He is the spiritual father of the nation of Canada, of India, of anywhere, any nation you can go in the world. He is the spiritual father of many nations. Wow. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gave life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Against all hope in the natural, he believed his hope was in the promise of God. And so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, by his stripes I am healed, because of the blood of Jesus, because of my righteousness by faith. I trust in him. I believe in him. I'm not going to weaken in that. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what my body says. I don't care. One time Kathy was healed and she was still in pain. And then all of a sudden the pain left and she realized she was healed. Isn't that right, honey?
Yeah. And 3 weeks earlier I had an ultrasound and I was healed 3 weeks before that.
It showed that the problem was gone. Sometimes I just pray for people that have pain in their body. I command the pain to leave and the healing comes. Sometimes the pain moves to another part of the body. Then I know it's a spirit, because pain doesn't move. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. I like this. Johanna, you think you could still have a baby? Abraham didn't have any Viagra either. He's 100 years old, man. That's right, it wouldn't work. And yet he's promised he's going to be the father of many nations and have a seed. Against all hope. Sarah was too old for her womb to conceive. Abraham was too old to make it work. It was impossible. And yet, in the promise of God, I don't care how old you are, this thing works. Faith works. Don't go believing God for children now. You don't want children when you're... You don't want to be raising teenagers when you're 80 years old, 90 years old. But you see what's going through his mind and the promise and the covenant and God swearing by himself. Abraham just believed. It's like Noah building an ark in the middle of the desert, telling everybody there's a flood coming. Yeah, all right, you crazy nut. Abraham's 100 years old, and they changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. I'm the father of many nations. You're 100 years old? Yeah, you've lost it, buddy. See, it's like the world thinking that you can receive healing like from God. Like, who do you think you are? It's God. You're not any more important than I am. No, he's done the same for you. Just start believing. But against all hope, he still believed in what God said. That's pretty amazing. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. He tried to help God out one time. But was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. I believe God made Abraham wait 25 years as an example to us. And, you know, I don't think God just... This is just my opinion. But I believe as Abraham continued living for God, that his body got stronger and stronger. Sarah's womb was renewed. I think it was a whole process of believing through faith. And 25 years later, it happened. Kathy has experienced this many times. She's doing much better than she used to do. Not fully healed yet, but she keeps believing God. Yes. I told God I need her to stick around, Lord. So just keep healing her. I don't want to do this without her. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. God knew which man to choose. He knew Abraham's heart. He knew Abraham would not quit. That's why he chose him. Job was the most righteous man. That's why he chose him to prove some things to the devil. So God knows who to choose to do what he wants them to do. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness, because he would not quit believing God, trusting in him. The words that was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Sometimes we don't think of the magnitude of that. I believe in God, and I believe that he raised Jesus from the dead, and I believe in Jesus. I have no option, if I really believe that in my heart, than to make Jesus the Lord of my life and do everything I can to live for him and to give him my whole life. It's a no-brainer if I really believe it. And if I don't do that, then I don't believe it in my heart. I have mental assent. Oh, yes, I know Jesus died for my sins. And then live my own life. See, that's not believing in the heart. That's mental assent. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And if we don't believe in our heart, then we're saying, Jesus, you're not Lord of my life. I think you did that for me. Yeah, and that's nice. It's a good story. I believe that. I want to believe that. But I want to do this. I want to live this way. I want to do this. I don't want to take time to go and sit and listen and teaching. I'm not hungry for you. I don't. You know, we haven't really experienced God. This is why what happens in religion. It happened to the church at Ephesus. They lost their first love. Even though they knew the word, they went to church, they did all the right things, they endured hardship for his name's sake, but they'd lost their first love because they're not living sacrificially for him and for others. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, chapter 5, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom we have gained access by faith, not feelings, into this grace in which we now stand. This grace that we now stand, in other words, God says, you've accepted my son, you believe in me, you trusted me, I want to bless the socks off you. That's grace. You don't have to earn it, just do your best to live for me, and I will work in you and help you to overcome every problem that you have. That's grace. But you got to trust God that he'll do that. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's why we're doing this, so that we can become like Jesus. And the glory of God is the manifestation of the outer, of the inner life of a being. And that is what we are going to experience when Jesus comes back and we get our glorified bodies, in which we will live forever. Now, to the degree that our bodies are glorified will be in proportion to how much we trusted God and how much we lived for Him. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. You got to have character to keep hoping in this. Parable of the sower sowing the seed. Those with a good and noble heart, through perseverance, produce a crop 30, 60, 90, 100 fold. To what degree are we receiving the kingdom? And hope does not disappoint us, because God poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. First thing I recognized when I asked Jesus to come into my life was the joy of knowing Him, the experience. He poured His love into our hearts. The first 3 months I was saved, this probably happened to you too, a lot of great coincidences happened. They weren't coincidences though, they were the love of God. And you knew something had changed. It's just good things were happening. That was the love of God. And we have to then live in a way so that these good things keep happening through our relationship with Him, our trust in Him. We've experienced this. We have tasted that the Lord is good. So we want more of Him. We keep growing. Why do I love Jesus? Because He first loved me. Because He gave all this to me and I didn't have to earn it. And I found it out when I really did not deserve it. And He did it anyways, and He called me anyways. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, we had no access to God. All we deserved was God's wrath. Jesus did all of this for us by shedding His blood on the cross, that now I can come into this. It's always there for me. I live in this, and the devil can't do anything if I fully believe this in my heart and live by these principles. God has got the devil so hogtied, pardon the farm expression, that he can't do anything. It is such a glorious victory. Wow. And if we don't have victory in our life, then we've got to change something. Why don't we have victory? What is going wrong? What do we need to do? What do I need to meditate on? What do I need to get stronger in faith on? Wow. I want to read Luke 5 and 22, and we'll end with that. Marked it down as I was studying. I forget exactly what was there, but I know it was good. Luke 5 and 22. So when Jesus heals the man with the paralytic hand, He said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves. I started in verse 20. "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk?'" To Jesus, it was the same things. See, because all of our sins are forgiven, we can come with full confidence to the throne of grace. God has called us. He loves us. Everything is for us. We were healed. We can believe we have received. What's easier to say? See, all of that happens because Jesus paid for our sins. So what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or throw away your cane and walk? Same faith. Doesn't matter which way you look at it, it all comes together. It's one bundle. Your sins are forgiven, or say, get up and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Wow. You see how all the grace of God, the power to heal, that man did nothing except what happened was Jesus was in a house and they had to tear the roof apart to lower this man down. And he saw the faith they had, so he said, your sins are forgiven. Pharisees gave him a hard time. He said, so you know I have the power to forgive sins. In other words, I'm going to die for your sins. What's easier to say? And he told the paralytic, because they just wouldn't stop until they got to Jesus. The same at the woman at the issue of blood. He said, take up your mat and go home. Just like that. It's the same as saying your sins are forgiven. Because the man had faith and he would not quit. And his four friends wouldn't quit. And they tore the roof apart. He imagined Jesus is teaching a house and they're up there tearing the roof apart. And they lowered him in a stretcher so the hole had to be at least, 6 feet by 2 or 3 feet, depending how skinny he was. And they lower him down with four ropes, one in each corner. And they're standing on a slanted roof, and Jesus is teaching. And he sees that, and he says, your sins are forgiven. Take up your mat and go home. Because they would not quit. Wow. That's the way we have to get tenacious with our faith, because Jesus has died so we could have it. Father, we thank you for what you've given us in Christ Jesus. Lord, everything has been covered by the blood of Jesus. By his stripes, we were healed. Lord, we just continue to pray that you would stir up all of our hearts. And Lord, we're just expecting great things to happen next week. Even as we've been passive and docile with believing you for healing, or we've just accepted things as part of life and part of this world, and maybe we've gotten more faith in the doctors than in you, Jesus. Lord, we want to turn that around during these 3 weeks, 4 weeks, as we're meditating in your word and teaching on this, Lord, so our faith would be stirred up so that you can be our healer. You want to be our healer. You died so you could be our healer. You suffered so that you were willing to suffer, and so you are willing to heal. And so, Lord, we're just expecting, coming next Sunday, expecting with great faith that you will do great and marvelous things according to your word and your promise. Our faith is totally in you, Father, totally in you, Lord Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in what your word says. We're putting ourselves in remembrance of your word, Father, stirring up our hearts to faith. So we thank you, Father, in advance. I already believe that we have received. Thank you in advance for the miracles that are going to happen, that you will confirm this word that we have been teaching, the word that you've put in our heart all these years. Stir it up, Father, by your Holy Spirit. Even we can't do that except spending time with you and seeking you. But stir up our hearts that we all have an expectancy to receive exactly what we need by faith in you. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for your awesome plan. Thank you, Jesus, for suffering so that we could have all these things. We give you all the praise and honor and glory, Father, in Jesus' name.